Jesus Christ is renowned the world over. His name is familiar in every culture, whether one professes to be Christian, atheist, or of any other religion. Most have opinions about him, regardless of their beliefs about who he was and what he taught. His name stirs great controversy. Yet, despite worldwide recognition, despite billions professing to follow him, despite all the knowledge circulating about Jesus, the true Jesus Christ remains unknown, even to Christianity. Is it possible the central figure of a religion could be unknown to almost all who profess to follow him? The answer has everything to do with a different, false Jesus having been foisted on an unsuspecting world.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack.
Opinions range widely about who and what was Jesus Christ, as well as what he means in today's world. But few disagree that he forever changed the course of history and civilization. Through the centuries, thousands of books, stories, television documentaries, films, and even novels have been written and produced about Jesus Christ. Hundreds of thousands of churches have been erected in his name. Millions have claimed to be his ministers, and billions have professed him Lord and Savior. What is your view of Jesus? What image does his name evoke? Perhaps a thin, long-haired man in a flowing white robe? Maybe a baby in a manger with three wise men giving him gifts on December 25th? Or a crucified figure in a loincloth with trickles of blood oozing from him? Possibly Easter eggs and sunrise services or the Christmas season. What about Jesus pleading with people to give their hearts to him, adding, "Just show love to all people and accept me into your hearts to be saved"? Or walking through villages, giving money to the poor, or saying, "Just believe in me, obedience is no longer necessary." These and other well-known views of Jesus Christ have been driven into the minds of countless billions over the centuries. Though commonly believed, and they are, these images and perceptions fail the test of careful biblical and historical examination. The popular mainstream ideas about the supposed Christ of the Bible and what he taught simply do not measure up to the facts. What have been largely unassembled facts. Most have accepted without question what they have heard, read, or were taught throughout their lives about Christ and the teachings he brought. These same people usually vigorously defend their beliefs while feeling no need to examine proof of why they believe what they do or to consider how they came to such beliefs. Human nature follows the crowd, which follows what is popular. This has been the case with virtually every one of the widely accepted teachings, traditions, and practices of mainstream Christianity. Few are aware, or even care, that these have been taken almost entirely from paganism, false customs, and human reasoning, and not from the Bible. Most of the teachings of Christendom have no biblical basis whatsoever, and in many cases, Jesus actually commands the exact opposite. Thus, the Jesus Christ of the Bible has been left out of professing Christianity, unknown to vast millions, hidden in a cloud of deceit, confusion, lies, and commonly accepted falsehoods. He has been replaced, counterfeited, and substituted with another Jesus, one entirely different, and the one the Apostle Paul warned against in 2 Corinthians 11:4. Notice, "For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, you might well bear with him," meaning you put up with it, he warned the Corinthians. Here are examples contrasting the false Jesus with the true Jesus of the Bible. The ministers of one Jesus teach the saved go to heaven. The true Christ revealed, "No man has ascended into heaven, and the meek shall inherit the earth." Related to this, the one tells his followers they have an immortal soul, and the wicked go to an ever-burning hell. The other, the true Christ, teaches that people are souls, and the wicked will be destroyed forever One, Jesus has ministers who speak endlessly of how the law has been done away, nailed to the cross, having been kept for them by Jesus. The other, the true Christ, taught, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets, and also, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments," after which he listed five of the Ten Commandments to make clear what he meant. One, Jesus teaches that Sunday is the Lord's Day. You've all heard it. The other declared this about the fourth commandment: "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He did not say the Sabbath was made for Jews, and I'm a Jew, so that's why I keep it, but you don't need to, because I'm now Lord of Sunday. One is left to wonder, if Jesus had said to keep Sunday, would the whole world keep Saturday? Understand, Jesus, who grew up in a strong, commandment-keeping, middle-class family of parents, brothers, and sisters, living in humble circumstances, observed the weekly Sabbath. But his family also observed the annual holy days, which picture God's plan of salvation for mankind.
A new booklet from author David C. Pack, How God's Kingdom Will Come, The Untold Story, is now available on rcg.org. This booklet explains exactly how the kingdom of God will be established, never understood until now. Visit rcg.org today to read How God's Kingdom Will Come, The Untold Story, or to order a hard copy free of charge.
Consider more contrasts between the counterfeit and the true Jesus. One endorses the pagan Easter celebration, the worship of the Egyptian Babylonian goddess Ishtar or Ashtoreth. The other kept and requires observance of God's Passover. One broke the only sign that he was the Messiah, and therefore his word, and was in the grave just 36 hours. The other kept his word, proving he was the Messiah by remaining there exactly 3 days and three nights, or 72 hours. One celebrates his birthday in late December through reinvention of a time-honored pagan festival of wild celebration. The other was born in the early autumn and condemns this tradition as an abomination. Jesus was reared a Galilean and as a rugged carpenter, and therefore was looked down upon for not being cosmopolitan or a recognized religious scholar, or as having come from aristocracy, like his contemporaries in Jerusalem. And his physical appearance, as foretold centuries earlier, was at best average, far from the handsome image promoted by Hollywood. Let's continue contrasting the two Christs. One Jesus was weak, skinny, effeminate, and had long hair. The true Christ was rugged, strong, masculine, and wore hair closely cropped. One is largely seen as either a helpless newborn in a manger or dead on a cross. The other is all-powerful and sitting at the right hand of God. One teaches adherence to ancient pagan holidays condemned in the Bible. The other teaches observance of the seven annual holy days outlined in Scripture and commanded to be kept forever. Jesus was born when anticipation of the Messiah's impending arrival was in the air, and when Rome changed from a republic to a conquering empire, clearing the way for the gospel of the kingdom to spread to diverse kingdoms, cities, cultures, regions, and territories. Before starting his ministry, Christ defeated Satan in a titanic battle of wills and qualified to replace him in ruling the earth. He then called the disciples from humble origins, and with his Father's guidance, personally prepared them through an intense training period to become apostles. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, and preached the gospel to the poor. He shattered myths and changed lives. Yet, despite these and spectacular miracles such as walking on water, feeding thousands with a few pieces of fish and bread, and other marvelous acts, leaders would not accept his words or his authority. Christ preached a message that is today entirely unknown to the multiplying, disagreeing, and competing churches of professing Christianity. It was the good news of the kingdom of God, a coming world supergovernment that would bring justice, equity, peace, happiness, abundance, and prosperity to all peoples and nations. This centerpiece of Jesus' ministry is another of the many things he taught that so few have heard and almost no one believes. The contrast between one Jesus and the true Jesus Christ of the Bible now continues. One Jesus teaches that his followers must spread an already existing kingdom, one that's here now as they seek to fix this world. The other, that his kingdom will come at his return, and that his resurrected, glorified followers will first restore and then continue ruling cities and nations in the world to come. One Jesus largely defines the Christian mission as giving money and aid to the poor. The other, in three places, said to give them the gospel of the kingdom of God. One sends missionaries around the world to have the masses profess him and get saved. The other, the true Jesus Christ, directs his church to announce to all nations the soon arrival of God's kingdom, knowing only the Father decides who comes to his Son. Jesus Christ promised, "I will build my church." He is still today building, feeding, protecting, strengthening, guiding, training, and governing that one undivided church. Yet, one Jesus has followers who build their own thousands of differing, divided churches and who, because they cannot agree on his teachings, necessarily offer a widely inclusive, counterfeit body of Christ to house them. The true Christ built one unified church, where everyone walks in harmony, believing and speaking the same thing. One permits the unrestrained promotion of idols, images, and pictures all through his churches. The other condemns all forms of this in his second commandment. One is worshipped by billions and leads all brands of this world's recognized, accepted Christendom, better thought of as churchianity. The other is worshipped by a few and as one discounted, persecuted little flock that has come out of the world. One carries neither real power nor real authority, and his churches operate on human strength. The other has all power and authority in heaven and earth and divinely strengthens his dynamic church. One is essentially a dead savior with dead teachings, building dead churches. The other is alive and brings living truth from his living word to a living church. What does the true Christ expect of his followers? He commanded, "Repent and believe the gospel." Paul added in Acts 17, "God commands all men everywhere to repent," meaning to change their thoughts, attitudes, words, and actions, and to live the only way he always intended. God is calling but a select few into the understanding of his truth to live his way of life. It takes faith to change, to reject the pulls of the flesh, the devil, and society, and permit Christ to live in you through his Spirit. It means growing from human faith to the faith of Christ, to come under Jesus' authority and to submit to his government administered in his church. Being called into the way of true Christianity means you must permit God to build his holy, righteous, perfect character within you, a lifelong process involving time, trials, tests, and lessons. You must yield yourself as clay to the master potter and put your will aside. You must voluntarily choose to, as Christ said, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." The Greek means "are finding it." With God's way of life come endless benefits for faithful obedience. This means, as John recorded, "We have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Jesus set the example, the pattern for overcoming sin and focusing one's life on being born into the kingdom of God. There are two opposing ways of life. One is described as the way of give, the other the way of get. One of the greatest teachings of Jesus is that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Of course, Christ set the ultimate example by giving himself for mankind. The give way for Christians begins with recognizing they belong to God as living sacrifices. Being called also means being willing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to untangle and disengage himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. It means a life of waging spiritual warfare, but also of enjoying unbounded happiness at the same time. The way of true Christianity is infinitely more than mere talk. It requires action. It brings with it security, peace of mind, excitement, thrilling news of God's work, and a host of blessings, including the greatest one of hearing Jesus say upon his return, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of the Lord." God's is a way leading to inheritance of all things as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, who is called the firstborn among many brethren. But the path to God's kingdom is not easy. Building character is the only thing one can carry into eternal life, for flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Let's see a few final comparisons between the false Jesus and the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. One Jesus blindly repeats that you are saved by his death. The true Jesus Christ plainly reveals, through Paul in Romans 5:10, and explains how you are saved by his life. One has done away with tithing to make himself more appealing and easier to serve. The other bluntly declares, "This ought you to have done." And to neglect tithing is said in another place to rob God. One says, "Come just as you are." The other commands, "Repent," meaning change, and "believe the gospel." One assures, "You are already saved," because once saved, always saved. The other declares, in fact twice, "He that endures to the end shall be saved, and to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame." One does not care how you worship him, what customs and doctrines you believe. The other is a jealous God, demanding in John 4 that we worship him in spirit and in truth, and says, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Finally, one Jesus works through another spirit, the spirit of error, the spirit of disobedience, and all those terms are found in the Bible. The true Jesus Christ works through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, called by John the Spirit of Truth. All those terms are, of course, found in the Bible. To conclude the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained this: "Whosoever hears these sayings of mine," meaning what Christ taught, "and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And then the passage goes on to show that that person endures. And he continues, "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine," the truth, what Christ taught, "and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." And then the verse goes on to explain what happens to that house. Which of these will you be? Another Jesus and the true Jesus Christ stand before you. You cannot claim to serve and believe the true, the right Jesus while copying the path and teachings of the wrong one. Which you follow in conduct and teachings becomes the greatest choice you will ever make. Unlike anything ever written about Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, unknown to Christianity, accurately examines the life and teachings of the most influential person in history. It takes you on an extraordinary and gripping journey, and correctly answers all the greatest questions about him straight from the Bible and secular history. You can learn what only a tiny few have understood. What did the real Jesus look like? What was his life's purpose, his ultimate mission? When was he born? Has he always existed? What did it mean that he was the prophesied Messiah, the Christ? Did he abolish the Ten Commandments? Was his gospel about himself? What did he teach of when one is born again? What did Jesus teach about the Passover? And what about observance of other days? Who will rule with him during the millennium? What is the kingdom of God? And where did the other Jesus come from? Do you understand Jesus' family life, social environment in the first century world, as well as how he was both God and man? What is coming achieved and the purpose of his triumphant return? Have you comprehended the long, agonizing hours during which Jesus was illegally arrested, tried, humiliated, tortured, and subjected to the worst instrument of execution devised by men? What about his clash with Satan and how this determined the ultimate destiny of all nations? And what of how that battle is tied to the true gospel? All these questions and many more demand plain, easy-to-understand answers. The book brings them. The most difficult thing for any person is to admit being wrong. Unlearning false knowledge and learning true knowledge in its place is not easy. This can be a painful, shattering experience. Throwing aside all preconceived ideas is very difficult for almost all. Do not discount facts and truth simply because you are unfamiliar with a belief. Investigate your Bible for what is revealed. Sadly, most will not be like the Bereans of the book of Acts who, it says, received the word, Paul's preaching, with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What will you do? A single book can change people forever. The true Jesus Christ, unknown to Christianity, does this. Prepare to be shocked at its contents. Bringing God's perspective and in plain language, it is based entirely on Scripture and known facts of history. It examines in depth the life, ministry, and teachings of Jesus as never before and excludes popular tradition, theory, and opinion, the usual approach to his life. I repeat, there has never been a book like this one. But you will not realize this unless you read it all and with an open mind. Most have no idea there is a true Jesus and a false one, let alone how to discern which is which. Nor have they any idea the vast range of well-defined customs and teachings separating them. Therefore, almost impossible to believe, nearly the whole world worships the wrong one. One is well known to the world, but you will soon have absolutely no doubt the true Jesus Christ is unknown to Christianity. He could be about to enter your view for the first time. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.